Welcome to History Unpacked. If you enjoy the content, then please subscribe or leave a comment. Any feedback is always appreciated by our small team here. Today, we're travelling back to the 1960s and the 70s to a series of brutal wars that barely made headlines outside of Europe and Africa. Wars that would ultimately spell the end of an empire. I'm talking about the Portuguese Colonial Wars, a series of conflicts fought across Angola, Mozambique and Guinea-Bissau. It was a time of guerrilla warfare, Cold War politics and stubborn empires fighting against the tide of history. Portugal was one of the last European powers to cling to its African colonies, and it paid the price in blood, politics and ultimately revolution. In today's episode, we will be exploring how the last remaining African colonies struggled for independence from Portugal and how, eventually, the fight came to the nation of Portugal itself, ending decades of brutal dictatorship and colonial rule for good. Now, before we jump into the wars themselves, let's set the scene. By the mid-20th century, colonial empires were falling apart. Britain and France had already begun granting independence to their African colonies, but Portugal? Well, Portugal was different. Portugal was ruled by António de Oliveira Salazar, a dictator who had been in power since the 1930s. Under his Estado Novo, the new state regime, the Portuguese government clung to its African territories with a near religious zeal. The colonies, nations like Angola, Mozambique, Guinea-Bissau and Cape Verde, amongst others, weren't just overseas possessions. They were officially part of Portugal itself, legally considered provinces like Lisbon or Porto. But while Portugal saw these territories as an essential part of its identity, the people living in them had other ideas. Nationalist movements were growing, and by the early 1960s, these would explode into full-scale wars for independence. So, where did the first shots of Portugal's colonial war ring out? Not in the massive lands of Angola or Mozambique, but in the tiny West African territory, Guinea-Bissau. In 1963, the PAIGC, the African Party for the Independence of Guinea and Cape Verde, launched an armed rebellion. The PAIGC was led by Amilcar Cabral, a charismatic leader with a sharp strategic mind. Unlike other independence movements, the PAIGC was well organized, disciplined, and had strong backing from both the Marxist powers of the Soviet Union and Cuba. Now, here's where things got tricky for Portugal. Guinea-Bissau was small, but it has dense jungles, rivers and swamps. Perfect terrain for guerrilla warfare. The PAIGC controlled large portions of the countryside and even started using Soviet-supplied surface-to-air missiles to shoot down Portuguese aircraft. For the first time, Portugal's military found itself in a modern guerrilla war. Outgunned, outmaneuvered and fighting an enemy that could strike and vanish into the jungle. It was a losing battle, and by 1973, the PAIGC was confident enough to declare Guinea-Bissau's independence. A year later, Portugal officially pulled out. While Portugal was struggling in Guinea-Bissau, another war had been raging in Angola since 1961. And this one? It was chaos. Unlike Guinea-Bissau, where one unified movement fought against the Portuguese, Angola had multiple factions, each with different visions for the country's future. There were three main groups, the MPLA, the Popular Movement for the Liberation of Angola. This was a leftist group with strong Soviet and Cuban backing. UNITA, the National Union for the Total Independence of Angola, was an anti-communist and more rural-based movement. And finally, the FNLA, the National Front for the Liberation of Angola, a nationalist movement with support from Zaire and the US. So, what does this mean? It means that this wasn't just Portugal versus Angolan rebels, it was an internal civil war and a Cold War proxy battle all at once. The Portuguese military fought a brutal counterinsurgency campaign using napalm, forced relocations and even secret death squads. but the problem was there was no clear enemy. The MPLA, UNITA and the FNLA were fighting each other just as much as they were fighting Portugal. By the early 1970s, the Portuguese were exhausted. The war dragged on and the colonial economy was bleeding dry. A change in Portugal's government ended the war at the same time. Next up, we have Mozambique. The war here started in 1964 and was spearheaded by FRELIMO, the Front for the Liberation of Mozambique. Mozambique's war played out much like all the others, rural guerrilla fighters against well-armed but overstretched Portuguese military. But here's the kicker. Mozambique had a huge settler population, meaning thousands of Portuguese civilians were living there. This made the stakes even higher. FRELIMO had support from China, Tanzania and the Soviet Union. They used classic guerrilla tactics, ambushes, hit-and-run attacks and sabotage. But in Mozambique, the Portuguese also had a secret weapon, the Fletchers. The Fletchers were an elite force made up of indigenous fighters trained in unconventional warfare. These guys were ruthless, specializing in psychological warfare and tracking down FRELIMO units in the bush. But like in Angola and Guinea-Bissau, the Portuguese were stretched too thin. They couldn't hold on forever. And then, in 1974, everything changed. Not because of a battlefield defeat, but because of a revolution back home in Portugal. After 13 years of war, the Portuguese people were fed up. The economy was collapsing, young men were being conscripted to fight wars they didn't believe in, and the government was bleeding money. On April 25, 1974, Portuguese military officers staged a peaceful coup known as the Carnation Revolution. The dictatorship collapsed and within months, Portugal began decolonizing. We actually have an episode on this specific event, so please check out our back catalogue if you're interested. But by 1975, Guinea-Bissau, Angola, Mozambique and Cape Verde were all independent. But independence didn't bring peace. Each of these nations spiraled into brutal civil wars that would last for decades. So, what's the legacy of Portugal's colonial wars? For Portugal, it was the end of an era. The country transitioned from dictatorship to democracy, and the wars became a painful chapter in its history. For Africa, independence wasn't the end of the conflict, it was just the beginning. Angola and Mozambique plunged into Cold War-fueled civil wars, costing millions of lives. And yet, the story of Portugal's wars are still largely forgotten outside of the Lusophone Africa. But history matters. These wars shaped modern Africa, changed Portugal forever, and serve as a lesson on the limits of empire.